Yeah, not only do we have outings for the church, but then just like every Sunday, now my uncle had a car, and then at times my father would have a car. We'd all pile into the car, and places now that are built up, there wasn't the housing that there is now, you know, these tracks and things. It was just fields and fields, and we'd pack a big lunch. My uncle would make a freezer of homemade ice cream, and we'd have sandwiches and potato salad and, you know, all the whole work. And we'd just find a spot and spread out and picnic and play ball. Mm-hmm. But every Sunday, the family did something.
So that was a day that was sort of for family.
This was when I was pretty young. And then, of course, after we got older, they had the matinee show on Sunday. But we couldn't go to the show if we didn't go to church.
Did when you were in school, in high school, and growing up, what did you? What were your ideas about what you would do?
Oh, I was going to teach. That's a reason for taking the academic course. And I was active in the social life. I belonged to clubs, and I was president of our French and German club. I took French during my 3 years of high school. And it was just understood that I was going to go to the university and that I was going to be a teacher.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Jefferson.
To Jefferson?
So,
what year did you graduate from high school?
Summer 39. We had our 40-year class reunion in November. That was interesting. A lot of fun.
So, at you were president of the French and German club. What other kinds of things did you get involved in?
Well, I was a member of the Who's Who. I have a gold star on my diploma. I got all A's in high school. And we go to the football games and the basketball games. And trying to think what else they would do. Was in the crafts class. I never could get into dance, and it kept me in corrective gym so much. They had a girls' athletic association, GAA. I was in that 1 year. And then when I learned how to knit, I used to make sweaters for the teachers and sell them. That would be extra money for me. And I just don't remember. Of course, our choir was still going then. And so that took time. Oh, and I was taking dancing off and on. Mother never did like dancing because she said that was the fast type. Because I wanted to be a dancer, you know, and oh, she thought, sure, I'd be a fallen woman, you know, if I took dancing. So we learned so much dancing, and then she, you know, would cut it off. In the meantime, I'm still taking piano. And I don't know, it was just a happy time, you know. And at the YMCA, they have a dance there almost every weekend. My mother was very liberal. I guess she trusted. I guess she figured I didn't know anything, so may as well let me go to dances, you know. And we go to dances, and I was a good dancer, and so I always got a lot of dances. And then the different clubs would give dances, you know, and I never went with any boy, though. No.
Just on your own?
Well, with some girlfriends, you know. I was supposed to go to the prom. A guy had asked me to go to a prom. And he told me after the prom he was going to do something. And I thought, oh, no, no. I told my girlfriend, she says, well, I'm not going with the guy that asked me. So she says, I said, well, I'll get my father to take us. So my father took us to the prom.
Did you, what were your favorite subjects in high school?
All of them.
All?
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to take any of this, let's see, I never had cooking. I had sewing 1 year in junior high school. And the teacher and I didn't get along because I told her my mother didn't sew like that. Like I said, my mom was always getting me in trouble, you know. So we had to take some kind of craft, and so I took 1 year craft, but most of the time I had the real academic subjects. I had my basic course, that's what it was called in, your history.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the French all the time I was there. I took chemistry, I took biology, physical science. I had algebra in junior high school, so I went on to advanced algebra, trigonometry, geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And about the last years, I took up a speech,
mm-hmm.
public speaking. And then I remember my senior year, I took English Review because I knew I had to take this test at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And I still flunked it.
Mm-hmm. So you planned to go on to UCLA with that, where you wanted to go?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But my mother didn't have the money, so she enrolled me in City College, and I didn't like it, so I quit
mm-hmm.
to go to work. I didn't even finish a semester. As a matter of fact, I hardly stayed there. Maybe 2 months.
Mm-hmm. What was it you didn't like about it?
Well, all my friends were at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
I ran with just a little upper class, you know. I've heard since then, I met a lady, about 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was in my class. I didn't remember until she showed me the class books. So she said, "Who did you run with?" I said, "Oh, Lois and Jean and Wilma and Doris." So she said, "Oh, you run with that Sedetti bunch." But I never thought of it at the time, you know, that people thought we were Sedetti. You know, we all were kind of what they call smart, you know, and we kind of ranked in the A group, you know. And then a cute little incident. I had been in Who's Who so many semesters that I had the gold star. So when they started to line up, the principal started to line us up
mm-hmm.
for graduation. The president of the class and the vice president, the two boys, they would lead in the two lines. The two lines would come, and they'd come, and then they'd seat themselves. It was given in the field,
mm-hmm.
you know. So when Mr. Dickinson called the two boys to come down, he called one side. Lionel Hutton led the other side, and then he called me
mm-hmm.
to lead behind Spencer. William Spencer was tall, and I was tall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the girls were so jealous. They were so jealous. So each time we rehearsed, they said, "Well, what color is your dress?" And, I really stopped speaking to my mother for a few days there because she wouldn't let me pick out my dress. It wasn't that she wouldn't let me. It was because she and my aunt were always downtown, and when they'd see sales, you know, or something real reasonable, they would get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they happened to have seen this dress, and that was just her idea. I think she had intended it for my wedding dress, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was white.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was so mad because I couldn't even admit that the dress was pretty
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to be there. So I told the girls, I said, "Well, I think it's going to be white."
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Oh, well, we can't have too many whites. So you're going to have to trade places." So I says, "Well, no, I won't trade places." I said, "I'll just tell my mother to get, when my mother and I go, we'll get another color," because I wasn't going to give up that coveted position.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was lace with net, lace panels with net in between,
mm-hmm.
and she stitched a horsehair braid around it to make it kind of stand out. It was princess style, and I was a little thin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a beautiful dress. You could wear it off the shoulders or up, you know. And it was all white. So the girls were assuming they couldn't get me out of my place because I had said I was going to get a blue dress. They said, "Well, okay." So graduation, here I come stepping in line with my white dress where they fit to be tied. But I had several compliments. They said it was just a slight breeze, you know, and the breeze was blowing my dress out, and they said it was very pretty.
Mm-hmm. So you managed to keep your spot?
Oh, I kept my spot. Uh-huh, sat right on the front row next to the class president.
Mm-hmm. Did you think of, like, applying for any kind of scholarship or anything, or was that not available then?
I don't think it was available.
Uh-huh. So it was just that you had to go to City, and that wasn't
going to do. No, my friends. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't that many of them that went to UCLA. But it was just that I had my mind set on UCLA. And see, at the last minute, she said I couldn't go. She didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. And so then she got me in late to City College. See, in other words, I could have taken the test and got my classes. So here I come up with a class in paleontology. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the least idea what it was. The teacher said so. He says, I know that everybody in class is here because they had to have a class, and this was the one that was open, and I know you haven't the slightest idea what paleontology is. So I was glad I wasn't the only one in there that didn't know. And then our teacher in high school, Miss Seckler, was German extract, and she favored, she taught German and French because it wasn't enough for a class of each. Mm-hmm. And so she favored German more. Mm-hmm. And she talked about her travels in Europe so much, till it was very little French we got out of it. So what I had planned to do when I got to college was not to say that I had, not to go by 3 years of French and go on from there. I was going to go back and probably go to second year French, mm-hmm. not at the beginning. The classes were closed, so I had to take French, an advanced French class. And when I walked into class, she says, bonjour, Miss 11. That was the only thing I understood. She conducted the whole class in French, and she said, for those who didn't understand, come up. So I was kind of bewildered with the classes that I had to take. Plus, I had some space in between. You know, it just really wasn't a schedule that I would have wanted if I had gotten enrolled in time. So that added to my frustration and made me decide not to go.
Have you worked at all?
Well, I had done some babysitting and mother's helper and during the summers, and then I'd give the money to my mother and she'd get material and make my school clothes.
Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you hadn't had a job until...
There was nothing to do.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to do.
So this was in about 1939
then? When I got out of high school.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so you went a little bit into that next fall semester and then decided to go to work?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where did you go to work?
Well, I worked for a lady in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to have been like a mother's helper job, but it was more a companion. Because mm-hmm. we'd go downtown, we'd go to the market, and she liked to talk. She was an older lady, and she liked to talk. And I don't know, she didn't think I could do much housework, and I never did like housework anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think her main concern was just the dishes. And then she didn't think I could handle a vacuum cleaner, so she vacuumed. And then she had, the carpeting wasn't all the way to the wall, so the floors had to be done. And the living room she never used. She stayed there with her son.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd sit and she'd talk for hours, you know. And I'd go out there about 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do more off those 3 days a week making $12 than I can do off $1,000 now.
Yeah.
No taxes, no nothing. Of course, she'd give me my car fare. And I helped my mother out some, you know.
So you're still living at home?
Yeah, I was still living at home.
Uh-huh. And how long did you work at that job?
Until I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And that was in?
Let me see. He was born in 41, so I got pregnant in 41.
Mm-hmm. So with this, to backtrack a little, about
uh-huh.
getting pregnant, had you been married? Or?
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh. Just someone you met in family?
Well, I was curious to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriends by that time, well, my close girlfriend had tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how is it?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, it's all right. Mm-hmm. And see, I'd heard the other girls say, oh, it's just so wonderful, so this and that.
Uh-huh.
And I says, well, gee, I'd like to try it. And a guy that I had gone out with a couple of times, I didn't start dating until after I was out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the park one time, and I know my girlfriend was doing it, so he says, you want to do it? And I thought, do I? And I said, uh-huh. And then I thought, ooh, what's going to happen next? You know, it's really scary.
Uh-huh.
And, I guess he didn't know. He knew I didn't know, you know. And he never did anything, and pretty soon my girlfriend came up with her boyfriend, mm-hmm. and so we went home, and no more was said about it, and I said, oh, shoot, you know. So there was this real sophisticated guy, you know. So I was playing the piano one day, and oh, when I got through playing, he's standing outside on the sidewalk plotting. He claimed he wanted to take lessons. Oh, he was so sophisticated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't too long. He came over a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But the pest, my sister, she would sit in there and she'd hog all the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'd try to get Mother, get out of here, get out of here. And so, anyway, he finally persuaded, well, it didn't take much persuasion mm-hmm. because I was ready to try it again.
Yeah.
And when I tried it, I said, oh, no, if this is what marriage life is like, forget it, no more for me. But he kept insisting, you know, he knew that I was the first one, so he kept, and I didn't know how to say no, and at that time, I wasn't working for this little old lady. I was working for Miss Lindley, and I was staying on the place because I was having periods, but like when your stomach would swell up, you know, in the water and everything, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh, I'm pregnant. I remember standing in front of the mirror at night, and I said, oh, gee, you know, how did this happen? And my period would come on, and I'd still think I was pregnant. You know, I didn't know your period stopped when you got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, every once in a while, he'd come over, we'd go to the show or something, and then he'd want to park, and we'd get in the back seat, and I would protest, because I wasn't getting nothing out of it, you know. I thought, boy, this is just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And before I knew it, I got up one morning, I was working for the little old lady then,
mm-hmm.
I got up one morning, and I had to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother raised up in the bed, and she told me, come here. And she says, I knew it, you're pregnant. I said, well, I guess I am. And she says, you just did this on purpose, and blah, blah, blah. And I got the riot act read to me, you know. So then she told me what I'd have to do. There was no abortions or anything like that, you know, so I had to have it. But she made me feel like, you know, I'd done a little less than committed murder. And I was always made to feel ashamed because, you know, for a long time I lied about it. You know, it was a long time before I could ever admit that I had it out of wedlock. And I remember one day I was in the market. I never did get real big, so that's the reason I kept on working.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally decided to stop. It was about 6 months, and I was about like I am now, you know. And I was standing in the market, and I was kind of like this. And she says, what are you doing that for? Trying to stick your stomach out and show everybody you're pregnant or something? You know, she made some remark. And that really wasn't my thought, you know, because I wasn't going to go around with my head hung down, you know. But, you know, she couldn't face her friends and so forth and so on. And then come to find out the guy was married. He'd messed up a girl, and this girl, uncle, had made him marry her. And I didn't even know it. Because she went around and raised hell, and she tried it. I was past 18, so it was nothing she could do.
Uh-huh.
But she went around, you know, and tried to press charges and have him arrested and everything.
So it was not a very happy time?
No,
Did, was your thought then that you, I mean, what were your plans at that point?
Well, I didn't have any plans in the way she had made it. I just knew my life was ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And the significance of the baby didn't really occur to me until after I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, gee, I've got a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he stayed in the hospital for about 6 weeks because he only weighed 3.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back to work. And then it was a lot of up and down. Then my mother and I really started getting along bad. My father didn't want me to have company. You know, I guess his feeling was that it would happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother says, well, she's got to have company. So whenever he'd get drunk, he'd pick on me and we'd argue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would work for a while, and then she'd keep the baby. But like when I was working for the government, I worked from 3 in the morning till 12 noon.
Wow.
And so when I come home, I'd have to wash, and see, they didn't have baby food during that time, so I'd have to cook vegetables, I had to wash the diapers, you know, for the baby and take care of him, and I couldn't get to sleep unless he went to sleep. And as he got older, he just wasn't sleeping, you know. So I got very little sleep. So she kept me when I went to Sacramento. And then when I came back, and after I had had this fight at North American, and, you know, I wasn't working, so she said, well, stay home for a while. You know, she called the shots. When she got tired of keeping you, stay home. But see, there was no aid or anything, so I had no money coming in during that time. And then when she got tired of taking care of me and the baby, then she'd say, go back to work. But she'd take half my money. You know, when I was only making $75, she'd take half, $70. She'd take half of it. Well, by the time I paid somebody for my transportation back and forth to Burbank, bought the baby's food and everything, I had no money left. And she and I got into it one time because I kept out $2 or $3 to buy my sister a graduation present. And she and I had it, you know. I really wanted to move, but oh, the way she had it, you can't move. My son had what they thought was heart murmurs. And then he had scrotal hernia, and he was just a sickly child, and she didn't want me to move. But my idea, especially when I was working in North America, was to move and get my own place because I was making enough money then.
To backtrack a little, when you went back to work after your son was born, did you go back to the...
To the little old lady in Beverly Hills. Until, well, I didn't stay there too long because he was born in December. And I think it was like March.
Is this December of which year?
Of 41. He was born in 41.
So right at the end of the war?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, they had bombed Pearl Harbor December the 7th of 41. And he was born 3 days later.
Yeah.
So then by the first of the next year, that's when they were getting, you know, defense plants and everything ready. And somehow I found out about this. He had to take a little exam or something, and I passed it and got called out, you know, to this job. So then I left the little old lady, and
so right up to that, I mean, this might be a good point to stop and get ready to start the
next interview. Okay,
So right up to the beginning of the war, when the war starts, you're there with a young baby and still living with your parents, but not under the calmness of conditions.
No, I just didn't understand them. I don't know what it was. And they were in better financial condition during that time. But it was just like I was a child, you know. And I think from the time I got out of high school, I wanted to be on my own. I wanted my own place. I wanted to be independent. But as you will see later on, it took me quite a while before I could get my independence. And those were the bad times because I couldn't stand it.
So before you were pregnant, were your plans pretty much to stay... you're saying to get out on your own. Were you planning on eventually going to UCLA again, or did you know?
Yeah, my thought was when I, see, I've always been a good person to save. I could really save money. And so my idea then was to go to work and save enough money so that I could go to UCLA. But it wasn't, when I say help my mother, it wasn't that she needed the money for us to eat. It was like for some whim of hers. Or maybe she'd want me to pay the phone bill. Or like one time she'd put a chair in layaway and she wanted me to get it out. I could have seen it if I was had to help pay the rent or something like that, or buy food or something like that. I wanted to save my money. And then, too, I bought myself some clothes, some more sophisticated clothes, you know, mm-hmm. rather than the ones I had in school. And then I sewed. I sewed, too. Mm-hmm. So I made myself a few nice pieces, and, you know, but I couldn't save anything. She wouldn't, you know, she just wouldn't let me save anything. Mm-hmm. And you'll see later on, further in the story, when I did save some money, mm-hmm. She knew that I saved, and it was always like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Mm-hmm. So at this time, most of the check or the money you would get from the little lady
uh-huh.
would go to your mother? Or?
Well, not most of it. Not most of it. She always managed to get about half of it.
Mm-hmm. And the other half, you spent money saying to get yourself clothes?
Uh-huh. You know, and then there was nothing to save.
Yeah.
I really couldn't save. Until later on, I think I saved when I started working at North American. Mm-hmm. But my idea was to save and get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Did you plan on, getting out and then, to get out? And were you just going to, was your idea of being independent, being on your own then? Or,
uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then maybe going back to school or something or whatever?
Well, after I didn't go to school, mm-hmm. My idea was to work and go to school. Now, I wasn't so hipped on getting out. I think when I wanted to get out was when I had my child.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt then I was an adult.